I want you to turn with me. I'll give you the hard passage first. I want you to turn to the book of Micah. Micah. We'll go to the last chapter, Micah chapter 7. I just want to, for about 5-10 minutes, I want to talk to you about the blessing of covered sin. Can you remember when your sins were forgiven? They were covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember that just like it was yesterday. Now, I'm glad that my salvation is not dependent upon my memory. There may come a time in my life when I do not remember like I do right now. But I'm glad that God has given me such a vivid memory at this point in my life about my salvation experience. As a young man, I was deeply convicted of my sin. There wasn't any question about me being a sinner. I was talking to Brother Richards the other day, and I told him whenever I was a kid growing up, I was like the little boy that the Sunday school teacher asked him about the difference between sins of commission and omission. And he said, I know the difference between it. And the teacher said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, the sin of commission are the things that you've done that are wrong. And the sin of omission are the things you ain't got around to yet. Well, I certainly understand that little boy's thinking because that was mine. But boy, when I was almost 16, God began to convict me. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was on my way to hell. And to be honest with you, I thought I was heading on the next load. I mean, I really thought if I don't get saved, I'm going to hell and it's going to be pretty soon. And so on a Sunday morning, before Sunday school ever began, I told the youth pastor's wife, I said, I need to talk to Brother Turner. And she said, well, he's about to start Sunday school. I said, he can't start Sunday school not till he talks to me. And he came out and he led me to Christ that day. Not that it took a whole lot of leading because I already knew what I needed to do. But he was the one that helped facilitate it. And I've never been the same. Hadn't been perfect by a million miles. But there's never been any doubt that my sins were forgiven that day. And can I tell you that it was as though you had a shower on the inside. And I began to think this afternoon about what a blessing it is when your sins have been covered. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 32, it tells us that, well, let me just flip over. Blessed is the man that has his sin covered. Let me just flip over to it and I'll just read it to you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I read those psalms and they have things like that in it, all it does is just feed my faith. And so I began to think this afternoon about how sin gets covered. And can I tell you, there's only two ways that it gets covered. It either gets covered man's way or it gets covered God's way. That's the only two ways. Well, man tried it as far back as the Garden of Eden. When Adam sinned, what did he and Eve do? They got fig leaves together and they sewed them together, trying to hide their shame. It wasn't long before they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and then outside of the garden, what did their son Cain say? Am I my brother's keeper? And so Cain tried to have his sins covered man's way, just like Adam did. But both of them failed miserably. But when God covers sin, he describes it in four different ways in the Old Testament. And I just thought I'd quickly give you those four things because you've all heard it, but you may not know where it's been found. And so let me just give you these four things, and then I'm going to have the men administer the Lord's table, and we're going to go downstairs. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 18, it says, let me get my glasses on here. In verse 18, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." But then listen to this. "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast their sins into the depths of the sea." Have you ever heard anybody say that the Lord cast our sins into the sea? Can I tell you that that's not accurate? It hasn't been that long ago that we had a group of men from our church go down to Savannah. And the captain of the little small boat that I was on, he said, "Hey, why don't we go and fish some of the rivers that are a little closer in?" And so he began to take us into some smaller rivers, and then there were some docks, and he would take and he would throw the rods underneath the docks, but they had corks on them. And when it would go in, it would go under, but then the corks would pop up. Do you know that there's some people that they would say, "That's like my sin, it just keeps popping up"? But that's not what the scripture tells us here in Micah. It says that God cast that iniquity into the depths of the sea. In other words, there's lead anchors on it. And it's going all the way down into the deepest part of the sea where nobody can get to it. The devils of hell can't get to it. You could not even get to it because it's in the deepest part of the sea. Now, I've been told that the Mariana Trench is the deepest part in the whole world in the ocean. Some people say that it's over 3 miles deep. I was told that they would drop cables down with huge hooks, and it would go down, 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 and there would be things that would grab the hooks, and they would try to pull it up. But evidently the pressure difference would be whenever they finally got it to the top, it was to where something maybe had exploded. I don't know if it was the less pressure, the higher up they got, that caused the internal problem. All I'm thinking is there must be some bad things 3 miles down. But I know this, I know that there are sins that are down there that are never going to be brought up. And I am so glad about that. There's another description. Have you ever heard that God puts our sins behind his back? Now, has anybody in here without a mirror ever been able to look between your shoulder blades? Now you may could take a mirror and hold it back and look in a big mirror and let it kind of reflect twice. I always had a hard time at the barbershop back when I had hair as a kid. All right. I wasn't always bald headed. I remember one time my parents gave me like $10 to get a haircut and buy lunch. And I decided that I was going to keep the money from the haircut. And so what I did was I went to the drugstore and I bought a trim comb. Anybody remember trim combs? Those things advertised on television had a razor in it. You could just kind of comb your hair and it just kind of cut it off and shave it a little bit. Well, I got the Edenfield sisters to give me the haircut with the trim comb. I had gaps all over my head. My mama said, Who cut your hair? I said, well, I got a haircut today. She said, you didn't get into no barbershop. And so I had to come clean, all right? And then she made me go to the barbershop. Then I really got skinned. And this was back when boys didn't want to be skinned. And so I would go to the barbershop, and I would be sitting there in a chair, and I could look at a mirror, but there was a mirror behind me, and it was though it was multiple mirrors. It was like mirror, 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 mirror. You guys remember that? That's the only way that you can really see behind your back. There's not a one of us that's got enough movement in our necks to turn around and see between our shoulder blades. And so when God takes our sin, and metaphorically, God doesn't have a back like we do, but it's the picture of it, God puts our sin behind him, and he doesn't see it any longer. You say, where does that come from? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, I want you to look with me. I think it's verse 17. But for, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. So in other words, our sin is placed behind the back of God, and he doesn't see it anymore. A few years ago, Daryl's oldest daughter, Liz, used to sing a song, What Sin? And she always did a beautiful job with that song. And all I would think about is how that God, if we were standing for him, before him, and somebody would say, well, what about Tommy's sin? And he would look at him and say, what sin are you talking about? Because it's been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he places it behind his back. Well, there's another picture that we see in the scriptures. It's as though our sin is like it's been blotted out as a cloud. Turn over in the same book, go to Isaiah 44. And look with me at verse 22. Remember these old, well, that's verse 21. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. When you were a child, did you ever look at the clouds and make believe what they were? Most of you probably did. Can I tell you, I still do that some. There are times when Deb and I will be riding down the road, and I'll say, look at that cloud right over there. That reminds me of a dog. Look at that cloud right over there. That looks like the profile of a man's face with a big nose. Look at that cloud right over there. This reminds me of this. But can I tell you that it doesn't take but just a little bit and the clouds change and it's never going to go back to like it was before. There are times when the clouds are so thick, it's as though the clouds maybe even sometimes come down and they're like a fog. But that fog, one of these days, is going to be gone. And that is never going to be the same way ever, ever again. Those profiles of the man with the big nose, that's going to change. And if there's another profile that comes up, it'll never be exactly that same way. Why? Because the clouds have been done away with. They have been blotted. And that's the way our sin is. The Lord has just blotted that sin, and you'll never see it that way again. Let me give you one final thing. Look over in Psalms. Go to Psalms 103. In Psalms 103, you've heard this one. You've heard people say, my sins are as far as the east is from the west. Matter of fact, that may be the one that we hear the most. But look with me at verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, I don't know what the end point of east is. I don't know what the end point of west is. You know, if you're on an airplane and you start flying east, you know, you're just going to keep going unless you have a certain destination. But this doesn't give a destination. In other words, it's just a continuation. And if you get on an airplane and you start going west without a specific destination, you keep going farther and farther. Now, I realize that if we're here on our earth, ultimately, if you go this way and you go that way, you would cross. But the picture here is not so much the earth in its circumference as it is a linear straight line. In other words, that sin just keeps getting farther that way and farther that way, and it doesn't get any closer. And that is another picture of our sin. Now, when I thought about these this afternoon and knew that we were going to take the Lord's table tonight, I want you to remember that your sins are as far as the east is from the west in the mind of God if they're under the blood of Christ. I am so glad that my sins are like a cloud that's never going to be reconfigured again. They're gone. I am glad that my sins have been cast into the deepest part of the sea, and nobody will ever be able to bring them up. There's not a one of them that's going to pop up like a cork. And the reason I know that is because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then saved cleanses us from 99% of our sin. You see, if it wasn't all sin, we'd have to go to hell, because the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when God forgives us, he does a good job of it. He puts it behind his back. He casts it where nobody can find it. I heard the story about a fellow that had gotten out of prison, and he'd gotten him a job as a night watchman. And one of his old cronies of his prison time found out where he was at, and he came to him and he said, hey, tell you what I want you to do tonight. I want you to leave the door unlocked, and I'm going to come by and I'm going to rob the place. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, oh, man, said you're a jailbird just like I am. And he said, if you don't leave these doors unlocked tonight, I'm going to tell these people who you are. And the old guy started laughing. He said, what are you laughing at? He said, I already told them. They know who I am and they hired me. In other words, he didn't have anything to worry about because he had already confessed his sins. And if we'll confess and if we'll repent, we can have the blessing of our sins being forgiven. I'll ask the men to take the table.
Anyone been served? Anyone that was missed? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul gives us a rundown of the Lord's table. He didn't receive this secondhand knowledge. It was revealed to him by Jesus himself. He said in verse 23 of chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He said he went into the giving of thanks, and he broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Let's thank the Lord for what he did for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your body that was broken for us. And you showed us your love in no other way that they could have been shown to give absolute proof, objective proof. And Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. And tonight we remember you and what you did for us. And we thank you and praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. He break it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Anyone get overlooked with the fruit of the vine? There was a famous star, Hollywood star, many years ago, said she had spent most of her life looking for a pot of gold at the foot of the rainbow. And she said, "But I found it sooner or later at the foot of the cross." The cross, as I said earlier, speaks of the love of God more than anything else. It defines Christianity. It symbolizes all that we believe in. Why? Because when Jesus died on that cross, so that we wouldn't have to. Then after death, he rose to life again. We serve a living God who suffered a painful death on the cross for us. Ever since that defining moment 2,000 years ago, Christians across the world have remembered. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that he kind of left us a forget-me-not, if you want to look at it that way. So the Apostle Paul states that after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's thank the Lord again for this. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, so that everyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ as a personal Savior can have their sins forgiven, washed away, wiped away, as our pastor mentioned this evening, as far as the east is from the west, behind your back, in the depths of the sea, so far as our sins been removed from us, never to be remembered anymore. And we thank you and praise you for your shed blood and the sacrifice that you paid on the cross for our sins. Thank you again. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He said, "Take, drink ye all of it."
The Gospel of Matthew tells us that after they partook of the Lord's table, that they sung a hymn. I'm going to ask Brother Keith if he would lead us in a song, and this will serve as our invitation. If you're here and you need to come to pray, just come on. If you want to join this fellowship, come on. Whatever you need to do, you come on this hymn as Brother Keith leads us. Let's stand together.
I think everybody.